Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Answering the Call, offering a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of local priests, deacons, and religious. And now, Answering the Call with Elizabeth Ficicelli.
Hi, and thanks for joining us on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli. And having a mission statement, a goal, a defined direction is important whenever starting out on something new. And this is demonstrated by my guest today, who is just starting out in his new vocation as priest. He's Father Brian O'Connor. He's the parochial vicar up at St. Joan of Arc in Powell. And his mission statement, well, it shouldn't surprise us really. It's the same mission of the church, and that is the salvation of souls. He's joining us today on Answering the Call to talk more about how he came into the priesthood and what he hopes to do with that gift. So thank you so much for joining us today, Father O'Connor.
Thanks for having me, Elizabeth.
It is great to have you. And, you know, the more I'm interviewing these new priests that we have coming out of the Josephinum, the more convinced I am that there is something pretty amazing happening up at that school.
Oh, great.
They're really turning out some amazing individuals. So we're really blessed in our diocese by our most recent additions to the priesthood. So, Father O'Connor, let's go ahead and trace your footsteps into the seminary and ultimately into your vocation.
Sure.
So take us back to your parents and the kind of family life that you had growing up that perhaps started you in this direction.
Sure. Was lucky to have been raised in a Catholic family. I'm a cradle Catholic, and both my parents were cradle Catholics. And so from Pickerington, Ohio, originally grew up at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish. And I have one older brother, Sean. And, you know, it was a very Catholic home, but it wasn't kind of over-the-top Catholic. You know, we went to Mass every Sunday. We said grace before meals when we ate together. And so it was just, there was that expectation, you know. There was never a discussion, are we going to church or not? We just always went. You know, I remember learning the prayers for, like, First Communion and stuff. Before we went to bed, we would pray those together. But I guess one of the big things that maybe planted some early seeds was when I went to first grade, my mom went back to work, and she was hired at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish, and she still works in the religious ed office. And so from a very early time, I was just at church a lot, you know, because that's where mom worked. And it was a place where she could bring me and my brother, if she had to work late or on the weekends or whatever. She could just pick us up and bring us, and we could just hang out. And so because of that, I got to experience kind of seeing the priests outside of Sunday Mass. You know, I think there's a lot of people who only ever see their priest doing Mass. You know, they just come on Sundays, they see him up there, and he hear the homily, and he's doing all this stuff. And that's kind of just the image people have. For me, from, you know, the first grade on, I was able to kind of see them as just like, they're just guys, you know, they're guys with a job, and, you know, they're killing time in their offices and, you know, that kind of stuff. So it was, it really humanized the priests for me.
So Seton was kind of like your home away from home. And as you say, you're experiencing kind of the men behind the collar, so to speak. So, you know, these priests who had this, you know, lasting impression on you, let's start with your pastor at the time, Father Steve Hawkins.
Yeah, Father Steve Hawkins was, he's the first pastor I remember. You know, I got to say thank you to Monsignor Ed Fairchild, who is still a weekend helper at St. Elizabeth Seton in Pickerington. He baptized me, and but he had departed by the time I could really remember him. So I only know him as the as a kindly retired priest who's helping out. But so Father Steve Hawkins was again my childhood pastor. And, you know, he was a great, kind man, you know, just a happy man, happy to be with the people, happy to serve them. I'll never forget, you know, I would be at church when my mom was working some late nights, and I'd just kind of, you know, go visit the other offices. And I always remember Father Steve would play Free Cell on the computer, like the old like Windows, you know, 95 Free Cell, when he was waiting for an appointment or whatever. You know, the people are 5 or 10 minutes late, and so he taught me how to play Free Cell from an early age. And probably not as good as he was at it, but you know, but he was just happy, and really had a lot of joy in his priesthood. Really loved being with the people and, kind of spending himself for them. And, he was just, it presented that image of the priesthood of like, here's a happy adult man, who is loving his life.
Yeah.
And so that was always very attractive.
And I think they did a survey recently on the happiness of priests and came out surprisingly high that priests are happy. But I think that's a great word to describe him, because I knew him also.
Yeah.
And then there was also a lot of parochial vicars at the time.
Yeah, Seton was it's a relatively new parish, and it was really growing a lot in the 90s. Pickerington really boomed out there on the Far East Side. And I think also maybe because Father Steve had previously been a vocation director in the diocese, that he got a lot of the younger, guys for their first or second assignments. And so, I can remember, Father Mark Hammond and Father Dave Polifico, Father Dennis Cagozzi, just, some younger guys. Again, I think there's a lot of people who, just experience, the old father, that
right,
all priests
that's all they
are,
know. Right.
50 plus.
Sure.
For me, that wasn't the case. We always had a steady stream of new guys. We had some seminarians even, for the summers. I remember now Father Jim Caesar was a seminarian we had. And, so that was an important part of my life also, seeing, they're young priests,
right,
young men become priests.
And that's got to be very powerful. Mm-hmm. So when do you think you first began imagining yourself as a priest one day?
Sure. I think kind of early on the small seeds were planted. I can remember, sometime in, the fifth or sixth grade thinking, the church is always going to be a big part of my life. And I think, maybe that was the first time I thought, well, maybe as a priest. And then I was like, no, not as a priest. Maybe I can just help out on the weekends, clean the floors or something. But, I think so the seeds kind of came then. But what really was a big part of that was I was very blessed in the youth group I was in at Seton Parish Youth. We called it SPY.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it still goes by SPY.
It does, I think.
Yeah. And it was an interesting time in the youth group because there were a couple guys who were entering seminary. Father David Schock is a son of Seton Parish. And actually a high school classmate of my brother's. So I knew him, and he entered seminary right out of high school a few years before I was in the youth group. But then just a year ahead of me, Father Ty Thompson was also in the youth group. And so it was just kind of they were open and honest about their discernment. And it just kind of built a culture where if you are a young Catholic man, you discerned the priesthood. That was part of being a Catholic when you're in high school. You ask God if that's what he had in store for you. And, I wish I could say that's the culture in every, young Catholic's life. But it's not. And kind of wish it was,
yeah.
I think we all need to encourage discernment of vocations as kind of a bigger part of that high school experience. But for me, I was very blessed, and it's just what you did. You thought about it, you talked about it, you prayed about it, and it was okay if that's kind of what you were doing. Like, it was exciting.
Right.
People were very supportive and encouraging. And I kind of thought then in high school, and even talked to my parents a little bit about maybe this is what I want to do. And so I would say, yeah, high school was really where it started kind of percolating.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I think that's a question that, men should ask. And so when you asked yourself that in high school, for you, the answer was maybe, possibly.
Yeah.
What was your parents' response to that?
Well, when I first kind of came to them with it and said, I'm kind of thinking about it, they were very supportive, and they said, if that's really what, you want, totally going to support you. Obviously, that's a great thing. Again, they're Catholic. Mom works at the church. Mm-hmm. She knows a lot of priests. She knows, they did kind of say, maybe to get the most, the greatest number of experiences to really allow you to properly discern, they encouraged me to go to Ohio State, or, not just Ohio State, but any regular college. Mm-hmm. And so I, after graduating high school, went to the Ohio State University for a few years. And, you know, was still kind of discerning. I was dating a girl at the time. We dated for pretty much my whole time that I was at Ohio State. And that was a great relationship. But was studying environmental science, and then I switched to geology. And I just, you know, kind of, I struggled. I struggled a lot at Ohio State. I was not a dedicated student by any stretch of the imagination. I just wasn't committed to class. I wasn't committed to, I liked environmental science. I wanted to build wetlands. That's what I wanted to do as, you know, 18, 19-year-old Brian O'Connor. I wanted to build reclaimed wetlands, you know. Okay. I thought that would be a lot of fun. But, you know, I just didn't go to class, you know, and I was, you know, kind of...
funny thing happens when you don't go to class
right,
in college.
Yeah, yeah. You get bad grades and you don't do well. And so, you know, I was just kind of floundering and didn't really have a good direction in my life. And, you know, was trying to, you know, find a lot of happiness in all of those kind of college things that society tells you will make you happy and really don't.
What was happening to your faith life? What was it? Did that go into crisis as well? Or no?
You know, it never went into crisis. I never, like, stopped thinking of myself as a Catholic. I never stopped, you know, identifying as Catholic and... That, you know, mass attendance certainly went pretty bad for me for a while. you know, on the weekends, I was, you know, working part-time jobs, so it was an easy excuse to say, well, you know, I'm working Sunday morning, so I just can't go this week, which is not a great excuse unless you're absolutely having to work and can't make an evening mass or a Saturday mass or anything else, which the opportunities for myself were copious, and I just chose not to take them. But I would say when I was at Ohio State, I was just living kind of as an intellectual Catholic. And so, you know, I could sit and talk to you all day long about why the Catholic Church is right and why, you know, oh, we have this history and we have all these saints and everything. And, you know, I knew all about it, but I wasn't really living it, you know, like you wouldn't then see me Mass on Sunday, you know,
yeah.
Even though I could have just like spent all day talking to you about, you know, Catholicism and how I love being Catholic and all of that. So in practice, you know, I wasn't really living the faith. I wouldn't say that I ever left it. I just wasn't living it as I should have been.
Now, you stayed connected with the youth program at Seton, though.
Yeah,
even
I
when
did.
You're in college.
You know, and again, so that was a good thing. You know, I was probably away for a couple of years, but then you know, they were trying to get some young adults back to help lead things and. Was happy to do that, and so that was a good connection for me. And then that also, I think, you know, never let me stray far from discerning kind of the priesthood, in that I was still involved with this youth group and they were supportive. And, you know, also part of discernment is this actually something you can be good at? You know, there is sort of a skill set,
yeah,
that comes, you know, that helps you be a priest. And in my own discernment, I was kind of realizing, like, man, you know, what I'm good at, what I like doing is this church stuff, you know? And so, like, while I thought building wetlands, you know, would be really fun, or, like, when I was a geology major, wanted to go, like, take ice core samples from Antarctica, like, that sounded like lots of fun, but I wasn't really good at it. And I didn't really like get excited about it. And I didn't go to the classes for it. You know,
yeah.
what I liked doing, what I was good at and what I was committed to was, you know, doing this youth ministry stuff. And then got involved on the diocesan level with the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry, doing some things with that. And it just more and more kind of became clear, like, hey, this is really where my life is leading me. This is really... where my skill set's at. And then
and it sounds like where your happiness
well,
was
right.
at too,
and where I was huge. Happy and yeah, absolutely. And so it just kind of, you know, it was becoming clear to me that, hey, this is probably what I'm gonna end up doing. And I even interned for a summer at my home parish, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, in the youth ministry office, maybe thinking, oh, I could, you know, do the youth ministry thing, or just which is a great thing. But kind of that last year before going to seminary, you know, I had gotten very involved on the diocesan level of, you know, helped out with the youth rally that year and that kind of stuff. And it really started when I was going to Mass, which Mass attendance at that time had kind of picked back up for me. every time I went to Mass, and this, and even probably when I was not going to Mass, this may have even been a part of it, was when I went to Mass, I just felt like, man, I can do that. That could be me being a priest.
Mm.
And so as I was kind of running from the priesthood a little bit, I kind of stopped going because, you know, when I went, it was like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and just kind of wrestling with that idea for a long time. But no, I had a lot of people supporting me, and it just kind of I had an image in my head of waking up, you know, 45, you know, with the life that I always thought that I wanted, and realizing, you know, as like a 45-year-old man, waking up one morning saying, God, I never gave you a chance.
Hmm.
I never offered my life to you to see if you wanted it. And I kind of, you know, that really broke all the peace. You know, that was kind of the tipping point where I was like, well, I have to go and try. I have to see if this is what God wants me to do. And so I went to seminary. I entered seminary. I entered the Josephinum in 2008. And, you know, I kind of went in with the thought of like, oh, well, God, won't you look silly when this doesn't work out for me? When I'm leaving seminary in 2 months, you know, won't you look the fool, God? When this is not what I am called to do. But, you know, here I sit across from you.
Absolutely.
7 years later, priest. So.
Here is where you sit across from me with your collar in your pocket at the moment. We're talking with the newly ordained Father Brian O'Connor. He's a parochial vicar at St. Joan of Arc in Powell, and he's telling us about his journey to the priesthood. So as you say, you entered the Josephinum in the fall of 2008. I'm sure it was a slightly different environment than OSU. You'd be at the Josephinum for 7 years.
Yes.
You know, and as for a lot of priests or seminarians, rather, it's a time of adjustment, challenge, mm-hmm. obstacles. How would you summarize your 7 years at the Josephinum?
Long. No. No, they were good years. And, you know, I finished my undergrad degree there, having studied poorly, mostly science at Ohio State. I didn't get a lot of philosophy transfer credits to get the degrees there at the Josephinum. So that's why I was there for 3 years in the undergrad and then 4 years in theology. You know, I learned immediately at the seminary that I was not called to religious life. I was not called to live in a community. That became apparent pretty early on. And I would say, you know, any of the struggles I had in seminary, it was never really a crisis of, you know, is God calling me to the priesthood? You know, it became very clear to me that God was not calling me to live in seminary for the rest of my life. God was not, you know, I always loved summer assignments. I loved going out and, you know, being with people. It was just kind of like, kind of the daily grind, the drudgery of the routine, that those were the things that, you know, would bother me most, that I would go complaining to my spiritual director about, and, you know, I would have conversations with my formators about, you know, like, I know I'm called to be a priest, you know, especially in the later years. I felt very, very confident in my call to the priesthood. It just became a thing like, oh, this again. You know, 7 years in a place is a long time.
It
you know,
is.
7 years where you're just a little piece of the mechanism, and
mm-hmm.
you know, you're at the mercy of the program.
Sure.
And so I would say those were the only times I struggled, but really it is a time of study and joy. You know, some of my very best friends in the world now mm-hmm. are the guys that I met in seminary.
And it sounds like from our guests who have gone through the program that you will know, you know, with absolute certainty whether this is your calling or not. And
yeah,
you know, that's important.
Really, there's if you're not called to be a priest, there is no reason to stay in seminary. I couldn't imagine someone, you know, just trying to fake it along because it's such an intense program, and you know, you're totally free, but like in your freedom, you're choosing all of the rules and expectations and every, you know, you're freely accepting all of that as part of the program. But I had a good friend, who was in the program for many years, and, we were approaching, were approaching our diaconate ordination, and he just, you know, really, his discernment told him, man, no, this isn't for me. And then, you know, he told all of his friends that, and he's like, and I'm leaving. And then he left because, like, if you're not called to this, get out, you know?
Like, that's right. That's right.
Go back. You're totally right that if you're not called to the priesthood, you know, if you've decided that this is not, you know, you're not going to be a priest, then I can't imagine anyone being able to make it through seminary.
I want to ask you a specific question, Father O'Connor, about spiritual development,
sure.
which, you know, is obviously an important part of the seminary experience. Contrast your spiritual development, mm-hmm. You know, what that was like when you were in that strong high school mm-hmm. youth program versus, you know, the spiritual development that would evolve to be for you at the Josephine.
Sure. I think, you know, a lot of the successes that, you know, we have in youth ministry, you know, it's really about like building an excitement, building, you know, that spiritual fire that's burning, you know, and you get excited and you go to these events and these retreats and everything and you come back and it's exciting and you want to go to church because your friends are there and it's, you know, very, very kind of event based, focused on it, you know, which is good. And, you know, we should be excited when we go to church. Mm-hmm. I mean, like the greatest things that exist in the world exist in Catholic churches. And so it should be exciting. But, you know, entering seminary, it's not that excitement anymore because it's every day. And so there's kind of a you have to find kind of a spirituality that's comfortable with the quiet, that's comfortable with the routine, that's comfortable with, you know, finding God in these quiet, boring hours
mm-hmm.
and realizing that, you know, he's not just there when you're excited and when, you know, you feel that fire burning brightly in you. He's with you literally every moment of every day and recognizing that and, you know, inviting him in to all of those moments, you know, not just recognizing him in the exciting times, because we still had like big, fun, exciting things we did. You know, I was blessed to be able to go on to pilgrimages, went to Rome in preparation for my diaconate ordination, and then went to the Holy Land in preparation for my priestly ordination. Those were big, exciting
sure.
things. You know, we saw incredible things, and you felt that excitement and fire again. But, you know, coming back, and it's the middle of February, and you're studying for midterms.
Yeah, and, you got to find the excitement there,
and
too.
it's boring, and it's work, and, you know, but God's still there, and God was still, you know, supporting me, and I was able to, you know, maintain that constant relationship with Christ in kind of like, I would say, you know, in sort of a more mature, just a realization that he's always there and with you in every situation.
Now, I was at your ordination, a beautiful day, and what stands out in your memory about that day for you?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many amazing things in an ordination rite, but for one thing that really, really stuck out to me is after the bishop lays hands on you, then all the other priests in attendance come and lay hands on you in sort of a consecratory act,
mm-hmm.
and so you can't really see who's, you know, who it is. These priests, they're just kind of shuffling through in the line. But I could tell when it was an older priest, like a retired priest, because I could almost feel like the weight of his priesthood when he was laying hands on me, that, you know, he knew so much more than I knew mm-hmm. what this meant in my life and like what I'm getting myself into. And, you know, so I really felt through that act, you know, like in the ritual, the sign of peace with all the priests is kind of that like welcoming into the brotherhood of the presbyterate. But for me, it was kind of through the consecratory, you know, laying on of hands with all the priests, much more of a sense of like, we're with you, you know, like this mm-hmm. is, we're renewing ourselves at this ordination through my ordination, and that, you know, they knew so much more than I knew
yeah.
what it was about.
It's beautiful to
mm-hmm.
watch, too, their expressions
yeah.
as they're going through yeah. that. You know, we're kind of winding down here, but you're now in your first assignment as parochial vicar up at St. Joan of Arc in Powell, big, busy parish. They've
mm-hmm.
got a youth program. What
yeah.
is it, you know, in maybe about a minute, what is it about youth and young adult ministry that's so appealing to you?
Yeah, I guess it's just that it's renewing. It renews the church. You know, when we have young people who stay, and I mean, there's a lot to do. There's a lot of stuff on our society that's pulling them away, that says, oh no, they're wrong, you know? But I don't know. I just find it, I do find it energizing. I do find, you know, it's rewarding to me to see that excitement. And, you know, knowing how much of an impact youth ministry had in my own life when I was in junior high and high school, knowing, you know, if we can kind of provide that same experience that then ultimately, you know, leads to an encounter with Christ, that leads to a relationship with Christ and his church, that hopefully, you know, is not just for their time in the youth group, but, you know, that will allow them to be Catholic adults,
yeah.
You know, faithful adults. So
that is beautiful. And they're going to be so blessed to have you there
so.
At the parish. And our diocese is blessed by you. Can
Thank you
leave us with your blessing, Father Connor?
So just pray that, you know, myself and my classmates can be supported in our first few years here of priestly ministry. And we just ask that Almighty God bless anyone who is listening to this. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you again, Father Brian O'Connor. This is Elizabeth Ficicelli for Answering the Call. Join us on Tuesdays and Sundays at 12:30 for another edition. Have a wonderful week. God bless.
Answering the Call is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Answering the Call with Elizabeth Ficicelli are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Veni, Sancti.